Yes. Yes.
Do we have to vote on that? No, just
no.
We are. Okay.
Just certified.
Approval of the agenda.
I'll vote for approval of the agenda.
Larry moves to approve.
I'll second it.
I apologize for my bad numbering again. I see you not catch that.
You left the five out.
Well, we went from 8 to 10.
Oh, we went. We went through a lot of.
We got
the sad thing is.
2:14.
Yeah, 2:13.
When did you write this?
My cut and paste didn't work very well, apparently.
Okay,
yeah, you'll have that.
We have a motion and approval of the agenda. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those favors say aye.
Aye.
Okay. The minutes.
Not pretty.
The minutes are not pretty?
Minutes are not mine. They look
pretty. Unless there's any corrections, I'll make the motion that the minutes be approved as written.
I'll second it.
Shirley seconds. The motion Shirley seconds. Any discussion on them? Any changes? I can't do anything in this paper. If hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Okay. Public comment. Do we have any public comment?
I don't.
Hearing none, we'll go right on to the advocacy report of the activities. So the ADRC regional board meeting, Shirley or Larry?
Mary, Minister passed out the regional ADRC management plan, and we will be discussing that at our next meeting. It includes the respective roles and responsibilities of the regional director, the branch management staff, and quite a detailed plan. I imagine it'll take us some time to go through that.
Plans are to discuss it.
Discuss
piece by
it.
Piece.
I don't know how she plans to do it.
I'm not sure. We just went over it on Monday with managers, so I think she'll have it fairly well together. It's pretty spelled out within the contract. I mean, different things that you have to do. So I don't think it's going to take, you know, that
very
much.
Long.
I mean,
it's more or less comments and yes or no.
It's mostly just explaining how you're going to implement parts of the contract, like communication, you know, how you communicate, how Mary communicates with the various branch offices, the evaluation pieces, and things like that. So, yeah. But it's required. It's required by
reading?
The state. It's required by the state. You guys have, the regional board has to sign off on it. And this year, we actually, the local offices have to sign off on it too, which is new. So, so therefore, of course, we all got our 2 cents in on it then as well. So, no, Mary's very good about going over things with us anyway. So.
Well,
but yeah.
It's several pages.
It is.
I've kind of looked it over,
but it pretty much follows with the template. They kind of gave her a template, and it goes with the scope of services. So
this goes along with other regional ADRCs, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're kind of firming up things more with the regional ADRCs now in doing that management plan, just because I don't think when they first came together, they had much clue as to how regional offices were meeting some of the communication needs and staying in contact with all the local offices. But so now, of course, like everything, they want it in writing. But it really isn't a whole lot of what we. I mean, it everything in there is what we've been doing for the most part. So it's not like we're reinventing a wheel.
Mary is responsible for filing this. Then
mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's correct.
Well, you can look at it if you want to see it now.
You'll probably, I'm assuming you'll probably maybe get it in your packet for regional board. That's
okay.
Coming up next week. When is that?
No.
Oh, yeah, you're.
We
it's
go to
December.
December, that's right.
4th, I think.
Yeah. In
we'll
Monroe.
What's that?
Yes.
In Monroe. Don't
yeah.
forget it's in Monroe.
Monroe.
Yes.
Anything else that took place?
Take a sleigh.
Yeah. Not under 6 feet, you snow yet. That's that area that I was up in during that Cooperstown. We were only a little ways from Buffalo, so that's that whole area that got that hit was 6 feet of snow.
Wouldn't you love to live there?
Oh, and it says more lake effect snow coming between now and Friday.
Yeah.
So they're really going to get very... They showed a picture on television of the door all busted in and snow coming in or whatever. Wouldn't that be interesting? Anything else that took place at that meeting? To report, anyway.
Not really.
Okay.
Not well, I remember. It's hard to remember sometimes.
Okay, Caregiver Renewal Day.
We just had Caregiver Renewal Day, and it was that's for people that are taking care of a loved one. We had, I think, about 15 people there, so we were down a little bit. This is a regional thing, and it was in Belmont. Darlington. This past one was. But even though it was smaller, the group really, really enjoyed it. They thought it was one of the best ones we've had. So Whitney Thompson, our new dementia care specialist, spoke, and then they had some other things. Basically, it's a day for kind of respite and education for caregivers. And it's part of the grant funding that we all receive, so we just do kind of a regional one. So.
Where do you have that in?
It was at Bridges in Darlington. So,
the restaurant?
Yeah. We used their convention center, convention room or whatever it's called. But the caregivers really, really enjoyed it. We provide some respite funding so that they can attend it. And so
if they have to have somebody come and stay with the other one, that gets...
We can provide some respite funding for that. That's part of the caregiver program, is to provide some respite services anyway, so up to a certain amount of hours. So, yes, yeah, and it's part of the grant funding. So it was a very nice day. We had, I think, I'm not sure what the final count was because it was changing as of late Thursday afternoon, but we had at least, we had the majority of people, of caregivers there. It was very good. And we have a nice solid group of caregivers that gets together for support groups that attended this. So, they liked it a lot. It was done very well. So
how long did that last?
It goes from about, they start about 9:30 in the morning and it goes to about 3. So it's a full day. They get a nice lunch and, they had massages there, and they did some craft, and then they had Whitney speak, and then they did another, what was the other thing? I can't think of the other one now offhand, but so they do a little bit of education and then a little bit of just relaxation for people, so.
Socialization type thing.
Yeah. So it's always very well done. I think it's very nice, so.
Okay, the elderly and disabled.
Yeah, that's the transportation meeting on December 2nd. So that's, we are required in our transportation grants to have a coordinated transportation meeting. So that's what that is. It is what it is. It's not always very well attended, but last year we had the sheriff and we had, I think, Audrey from Southwest Opportunity Center. So
where is that at?
I was going to ask.
It's right here.
Right here.
Mm-hmm. And it's on the website, too, but it will be here. And then, coincidentally, at 1 o'clock, we'll have a public hearing. So, and again, that's a requirement for the transportation grant, so that we have that.
How does that affect, when we did that study or whatever, not too long ago, one of the big things that came out of that was the transportation, right, which was a big issue.
Transportation always comes up. With all my experience in Grant County and Southwest Wisconsin, transportation always comes up as a high need of people, whether they be elderly, disabled, or low income, for that matter. It always comes up. But it's always an interesting scenario because while it always comes up as a high need, people don't necessarily utilize it as well either, for various reasons. I mean, it's either it's a stigma, some it just doesn't provide the services that they need. That's more like the public transportation part of it, like our buses and stuff. I mean, the TRIPS program is highly utilized. I mean, we are begging for drivers right now because we have so many trips going back and forth to medical appointments and things like that. So, But yeah, it's interesting. I think I was just at the Southwest transit meeting yesterday. We have another requirement of these transportation grants is that we show a regional coordinated plan. So no surprise there that there's a regional aspect to it, because that's probably down the line where that is going to head. And in terms of transportation, I'm not sure that doesn't make sense. Because if we've got to take somebody to Madison and Dodgeville's taking people to Madison, why not coordinate that in some aspect so that, you know, two different vehicles aren't going to Madison? So, we discussed probably for a good hour and a half yesterday, you know, what does that look like and how does that work in terms of all the county systems? And but it certainly is a requirement by DOT and the state, because now they actually, when we write these grants, they want to know how we're working regionally. So, you know, we do have to have a regional plan. We do have to show that we're coordinating with other counties, so they want to see that. So.
Is the cost of that per mile or per trip? Or
for the TRIPS program? Yeah, what it is we provide the volunteer drivers 56 cents per mile, which is the IRS rate. However, I mean, they can, for tax purposes, I think they can only get 14 cents a mile, so they may, depending on how much they may have to pay taxes on that. We actually charge the provider a little bit less than that. So I think the provider, the participant is actually charged about 35 cents per mile. It's well used. It is by far our biggest transportation program. I think the taxi is fairly well utilized as well in Boscobel, Lancaster, in Fenimore. The buses, maybe not as much. It's utilized by kind of a core group of people, but that's something, you know, that we need, I think, to look at is how do we provide those services and what is it people really want? So, I mean, that's eventually for the future, that's something we'll be looking at. But, you know, we talked, when Dave and I went to that meeting, we talked about there's a little bit of a stigma if you're riding on the elderly and disabled bus, you know, if that's what it's called. People don't want to just jump on board.
You said you were going to change the name of it.
I know, we might.
Have we reached a point in Grant County where if you work with Unified and Social Services to where do we have enough of a need where we have people without driver's licenses, where we need to look at maybe establishing some kind of a bus route to the major cities that employ these people or not?
Interestingly, we don't get that many requests, and Lyft, which is out of CAP, provide more of that transportation.
So they are servicing that need.
They are to the extent that they can.
Okay.
Yes. What we occasionally get are the ones that, you know, I just got out of jail, or I'm on Huber now,
yeah,
and I got to get here and there and
yeah,
back and forth. And our grant requirements don't really allow for that very much, because the funding that we receive, the priority is for medical appointments first. That's where our priority is to get people to medical appointments, and then we can get into those non-medical. But you know, that gets a little dicey if you got to transport somebody 5 days a week and six, and half the time it's at 5:36 in the morning that they need to be somewhere. So, but Lyft does do more of that, and so we do tell people about those other services that can provide that, and Lyft being one of them. And Lyft serves all of Southwest Wisconsin. So, and that goes again part of that regional plan. It would be, I think, sometimes in our best interest to say who's got an available driver, and that's what they were talking about regionally. There is software out there that people could plug in, and so you could see, well, Iowa County's already got a driver picking up here and doing this every day of the week, so we could use that driver to pick up as well. And Lyft actually uses that software. But trying to get four counties on board with the same plan and the same software and share those names is, you know, it gets to be a little bit more convoluted. And you know, you got policies, you got procedures, you got IT people who have to be involved in all of that. So it's kind of daunting, but I think it'll happen eventually. But it isn't our goal right now to necessarily provide employment. But whether it should be down the line.
No, I know it is an art goal, but it is the goal with social
services. And Lyft is really trying to expand their program. I mean, from CAP, they're really trying to expand that. In fact, Lyft took over. Lyft was willing to do the Safe Ride for when Dan Timmerman was here. Mm-hmm. After he had left that day, I got thinking about that as well. And so I put him in touch with Ashley from Southwest CAP because I thought that might be better served through that program than a county vehicle being the
I can remember when they, if you remember back a few years ago when they wanted to rent the buses from here to haul people to the brewery opening down there, and we had a tremendous amount of negative people who did not want our buses hauling people to a brewery function. Yeah.
And we don't, you know, we try not to take, you know, we don't go to the casino. Remember, I specifically asked you if it was okay to take the nuns to the bowling alley at the casino because we didn't want the
Well, a few years ago, they had talked about
there.
Trying to ring something with the Voltec, too, using the rides to get
and
kids to go
I mean, Southwest Tech, or Lyft is using that. They've
Lyft
got some.
That?
They've got some students that they're using to provide rides to other people to Southwest Tech. So Lyft is really... And I think that's a good avenue for them because their funding sources are more open. I mean, they're looking at, they don't have the elderly, disabled, you know, funding that we have necessarily. They can provide it to anyone. So it's really just a matter of coordinating that and knowing who's who. And I think we are doing a better job of that, of letting people know when they call in here of Lyft and those other services that might be able to help them. But... it's, you know, those five-day-a-week ones where somebody needs transportation to work, it's...
Well, don't we still have an age component, though?
That's what I'm saying. With us, it's because we do have that age component. It's not as easy for us to do that.
We do. I'm just trying to get to coordinate different...
and we are definitely...
different groups so that we could use social services. We could use the same buses, the same drivers, instead of having a different... Yeah.
And this transit meeting that we have, the Southwest Transit meeting, it's made up of Southwest Regional Planning. They facilitate it. We've got Richland County there. We've got Iowa County there. We've got Greene County there. We've got Grant County there. Transportation coordinators and ADRC directors. And then we've got Ashley... which is the Lyft program out of Southwest CAP. We've got Hodan Center, and we've got Southwest Opportunity Center. So we've got at least the major players who get kind of the grant funding there. We don't have, like, Platteville, you know, the transit and things like that. But and, I mean, the goal right now is they've actually, regional planning has been taking information that we have on our rides, putting it on a spreadsheet, and looking at where the majority of rides are originating from and where the destinations are that they're going to, so that we can start to visualize who's all going to the same places and what we're doing. You know, a few of them, like Richland County's kind of out of our corridor to Madison, and Greene County's definitely, but certainly I could see collaborating more with Iowa County and things like that, because meeting up in Dodgeville and going would be an easy, you know, easy thing to do. So we are working towards that. It's just... quite frankly, it's just because everybody comes from their own county with their own set of rules and their own set of, you know, it just makes it a little bit harder to collaborate because you're crossing those lines and not everybody has different charges for what they charge participants in different counties. Not everybody does the same rates. And so, but I think eventually they're going to get there, because I think eventually the state's going to force the issue. And Carrie Porter right now was looking at, she's the GWAR transportation consultant, and they had applied for a big grant. I think it's aimed more at veterans, but to do some of that across county line coordination too. I think right now it's mostly veterans, but I think if it goes...
veterans are having trouble. I think they only got two drivers now here in town.
Well, and I didn't realize...
They're looking for more drivers.
I didn't realize that Richland County was saying, or Greene County was saying, that 35% of their driver escort participants are veterans, because they don't have the van that goes. Richland County is taking an enormous amount of veterans as well, even though I think they do have a van available. But the problem is, is it doesn't always work with those veterans. And I know we take a few, and it's mostly because they usually ride share with somebody else, and it can make up for a very long day. Those guys can be going up there very early in the morning, and because they have to wait for other people's appointments too,
Tom Lucky's been driving from here, driving the van quite a bit, and I know he says he can leave at 6 in the morning and not get back to 6, 7 at night.
And that's what we've heard. And for some of those guys, that's just too long of a day, you know.
I got a question. Larry, do I need to raise my hand?
She's the boss.
As long as you don't jump up and down the table, you're okay.
Well, we talk about volunteer drivers. Now, because somebody asked me the other day.
Yeah.
I said I would ask. Do they get paid, or is it strictly volunteer?
They get paid mileage.
Okay.
So the 56 cents a mile, yeah. They get paid mileage from home. So if they're
driving what, their own vehicle?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. Yes,
so
they are.
You take your vehicle and you get paid. What is it, 56 cents? Whatever.
56 cents a mile. The IRS, right?
Do you have to be sure that their insurance covers riders?
That's their responsibility.
It is their responsibility, but we do ask for proof of insurance. We need to make sure that they are insured. We also do a background check on them.
It's got to be difficult to recruit volunteers.
Oh, yeah.
That was the theme yesterday for all the county updates. Was everybody right now is really looking for volunteers, and I think, you know, we don't have a base like we used to because people aren't retiring as early. Mm-hmm. It was those early retirees that kind of used to do the volunteer driving because they were, you know,
they still wanted to do something.
But now people are working a lot longer, and so we're kind of losing that base of volunteers. And this time of year is tricky too because whatever, I don't know why, but people, you know, people go south. And so some of our volunteer drivers go south. I don't know why. I don't understand why.
You see Larry waving his hand.
What did I do?
Just sit there.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yesterday there was every state experienced what? Temperatures in the 30s, so everyone.
So the people that drive our vans then.
Our vans are different because we have the driver escort program, which is that's the TRIPS program, and that is all volunteer drivers. But if we have people that need specialized transportation, so they require a wheelchair transport, then we have to have hired drivers to do that because they have to be trained in how to work the lift on the van and things like that. So we don't expect our volunteer drivers to, you know, transport people in and out of wheelchairs and things like that. In fact, we wouldn't want them to do that or have that liability. The people that they transport have to be ambulatory. They have to be able to. If they can transport by themselves, they can do that. But if they require, you know, actual wheelchair transport tied down, then we need to do that with a specialized van. And then we're reimbursed at that. We're reimbursed for the driver's wage rate and also then per mile. So.
It says Mary. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, as Mary Lou said, it's not so much the driving for the people; it's that time commitment.
It is. It's a huge time commitment.
Until late at night. Yeah.
And especially, we're getting more and more requests because we're used a lot for dialysis patients and patients utilizing or accessing radiation services.
Right. Yeah.
And radiation's every day for like 6 weeks. Wow. Dialysis is a 6-hour commitment for
three
some of our drivers,
three times
a week.
So where is the nearest radiation and chemo?
Dubuque. Dubuque, Dodgeville.
Bosque Bell will have it next year.
Really?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
There's some announcement that it will be there next
year. Fabulous. That's good news for our area.
Yeah.
That's very good news.
Go so far.
Yeah, because it is. It's a huge problem. And we have drivers. I'll tell you what. There are days when I, you know, when the weather's bad, and they know those people have to get to dialysis, and they go regardless.
Right.
They just go.
Yeah.
They have a real commitment to those people, but it is getting harder and harder. Continuous uses our driver escort. We contract with Continuous as well, which is the family care program.
Right.
So if they've got people that need medical appointments, they contract with us to provide them, as well as Unify does that.
Is that the group? Continuous now, is that the group that they were charging over and above and all this?
No, Continuous is family care.
Yeah.
You're thinking probably the the Medicaid transportation.
Where does that
provider.
Fit or no?
If people are on Medicaid, then they need to use the state's provider, which is MTM. That's the one that we've had all the issues. Well, but prior to that, it was Logisticare, and they had all the same issues with Logisticare that they have.
So are the issues still there? They're not resolved? With the transportation is a big thing. Somebody has to get to an appointment.
Right. Yeah.
I think there are probably still issues there. We have a handful of people that will pay us and not use MTM just because they just know that we'll get them where they need to
on
be.
Time.
But they're paying out of their own pocket
right.
because they're not being reimbursed. With Continuous, with Family Care, we actually, they'll utilize us, and they actually pay a $12 administrative fee to us. So we charge them an extra fee because oftentimes we are having to get them appointments on the fly. I mean, literally, they will sometimes, I swear they call it 4:28 and have a appointment that needs to be in Madison, at 9:30 the next morning. It's like, we don't have drivers out in the parking lot with their vehicles running ready to go. You know,
I'm warmed up.
So it's, I mean, the transportation program is a lot, and then when you start looking at all the systems regionally, number one, it only makes sense probably to coordinate that at some point, but when you look at everybody's individual systems and how everybody gets people to where they're going, it's a logistical nightmare.
Is the transportation used more now in the wintertime when maybe family members don't want to get out and go?
Yeah. Yeah, it actually is. It picks up and it actually drops off in July and August, which you would think people would, I don't know, get where they're going then, but they don't. It usually picks up in July or in September.
So how many drivers do you have now?
You know what? We've just lost about 3 or 4 in the last
week
or two, so I don't even know how many she's got. I know that she doesn't have any drivers with open schedules right now. We have been actively recruiting volunteer drivers. I don't know if you saw the shopping news, but I did a great big ad in the shopping news for volunteer drivers. We've got ads. We're doing some radio ads. We've done press releases. We are actively recruiting drivers. So if
anybody have any further questions on that,
I was going to ask you on your bus drivers. Now that's a problem too, isn't it? They got to carry a CDL
yes.
with a bus endorsement on it.
Yeah.
And that means a physical card with them, and that's every 2 years. Get that renewed.
And drug and alcohol testing.
That creates another...
And that's their responsibility, the driver.
Well, it depends.
Well,
the company used to take care of mine, but...
and
but
we
you
use,
don't take care of that.
You know what? That's a question
we take care of the alcohol testing.
The alcohol testing we do, yeah.
You're in a pool with alcohol testing. You never know.
Yeah.
Yep.
You may show up for work one day and I tell you, report to the hospital.
And we could use more subs even there, because we've had some... we've had medical issues with our substitute drivers and some other issues. So we're short.
That's another problem you got is finding people that will do that bus endorsement.
That's right.
I have it.
You have it, Steve?
I got it.
Here we go.
You're looking for a retired gentleman?
Right, Steve. Saved up.
I have a CDL. Well...
There we go. It's even getting better.
I'm not looking for a job.
I still have the commercial part. Commercial one, but
so what does the CDL license require? I mean, how do you get that?
You have to take a test.
You got to go take a written test, a driving test, and a whole ball of wax.
Mm-hmm. I'm cleared to the whole tankers, flatbed, doubles, triples.
It depends. Yeah,
all
no.
All this is stuff I've kept up all these years. Yeah.
Depending on the size of the bus, you don't have to take the full.
I take with a Steve. State combination. No more. Well, I've got the
tanker. Up. You never know.
I stayed out of hazmat, too.
Well, that's every year now, anyway. So.
Yeah. I just know I think transportation becomes a real big issue, I think, with people.
Do your people have to keep a logbook at all?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, they don't go far enough. They're within state, that's intrastate.
They just fill a trip sheet, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't believe that we have to do any logbook. We didn't with Head Start either. So.
Yeah, okay.
And interestingly enough, Lafayette County, this came up yesterday, Lafayette County's been stopped. Their bus has been stopped, I think every time they go to Dubuque, so they quit going to Dubuque by a state trooper.
Really?
Stop them?
he'd stop and saying they had to have the they had to have DOT numbers. He'd stop them for various minor things, but it was
just
because
they're from Wisconsin.
And they just actually had an inspection by the Federal Motor Carriers group.
Oh,
and they were determined that they didn't have to have the DOT numbers. Now, I've been, Ashley, we've been going round about this for actually probably 10 years. Ashley and I, back when I was in Head Start, about DOT numbers. And they did tell Lafayette County that they were not required to have the U.S. DOT numbers. So that was good news for Lafayette County. And it'll be good news for us because we make runs to Dubuque fairly.
Sure.
That
inspection sticker on that vehicle just makes life a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
Lot easier.
Yeah. It's,
but they shouldn't have
stuff. No, they don't. But.
Oh, but they got one of those down there.
Yeah.
But you know, when you order these buses, you think you're getting these buses the way, you know, according to Wisconsin standards, and I've had the same experience with Head Start where then you get them and they stop you and they've determined that your bus seats are a half inch, you know, shorter than they should be between seats, and then you have to move. I've literally had to do that. Then you have to move all your seats, and I mean, they can come up with, if they want to, they can make your life a little bit miserable for a while.
The worst you can get is that they're a graduate right out of academy. He is the biggest pain there ever is. He knows all the rules, and there ain't no give or take.
I feel like we just had the elderly and disabled transportation meeting now, but.
Well, I just think transportation is a big issue.
Well, it is, and like I said, it always comes out as a high need. But even like Barron County was saying, who would really revamp theirs, and they revamped it successfully in terms of their taxi program and things like that. But there were still issues. Like they thought it was going to revitalize their nutrition program because people were going to utilize those services for nutrition, and then they didn't. And you know, so you kind of gotta wonder. And there's differences then in the population with ADRC coming into it too, and you're serving the elderly population, and then the population that uses the services for disabled are a different population too. And that it's really hard to kind of meet both of those needs because they're not similar needs. So
basically, anybody can use your transportation system.
Anybody can, as long as we aren't displacing elderly. Basically, our funding is first for elderly and disabled, and if we have room on the bus, we can take anybody, as long as we aren't displacing. Now, if we had a full bus, we couldn't let somebody in that, you know, because we have to always make sure that we aren't displacing anybody else. That's not been a problem. So, I mean, we really do have to. Honestly, I've had a lot of bigger fish to fry over the last year, and I probably will for the next 6 months. But, I mean, it is an area that we want to look at. And it's certainly something, I mean, we meet regionally like every other month. So it's constantly on the table as to how to do this. And the state's looking at it, too, trying to do more regional. So, I mean, I think it's going to have to come together. But in order to get these systems in place that allow you to plug in your numbers of where you need to go and see who's available. I mean, these transportation software systems are expensive, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So,
any further questions on transportation? We beat that one to death. Okay, the MIP.
Now none of you are going to show up to my meeting. MIPA, you did approve us applying for the Medicare improvement grant for patients and providers. And so we did. This one is a three-year one. The last year we got it, it was for a one-year, and it was $3,000. This year, it goes for 3 years. So I asked for $27,966 for that all 3 years. So essentially, $9,000 a year is what I asked for, because, you know, why not? So basically, I asked for some additional funding to help in part pay for our assistant that we use. We provide one of the areas that they said was maybe hire somebody to do some of the data entry, so that frees up your elder benefit specialist program. This program basically funds the elder benefit specialist program or provides money to it. So we do have somebody already in place, so I asked for, since, you know, it gets more and more expensive to keep those people on every year, I asked for some money for that. And then we asked, that would allow our elder benefit specialist to hold some office hours in other areas of the county a few times a year. So we were looking specifically like in the Boscoville area, maybe the Bagley-Cassville area, and then maybe the Cuba City area to kind of touch on those areas so that people that can't access Lancaster that easily could get to them. A large part of this was doing some advertising, because that was really a large part of the grant application. Performing outreach and assistance was mainly the three questions that we needed to ask was, how would you perform outreach and assistance for beneficiaries likely to be eligible for the low-income savings program, the Medicaid savings program, Medicare Part D? How will you accomplish outreach and assistance for general Part D stuff, and how will you complete outreach activities aimed at Medicare prevention and wellness? So there again, we're just trying to, so we're looking at doing a little bit more marketing, because again, our participants are going to be different in the future, and they're not necessarily attending nutrition sites and getting that information from us, so we're going to market to those people that don't know about us yet or that are getting ready to retire, and they tend to read more of the local papers and things like that, so we would be doing some more advertising in the local papers. We would be utilizing the tax assistance programs, providing some information to those people that are accessing our tax assistance, because we provide them with some space here for that. We would also be utilizing our farmers market coupons and getting information out to people, because our farmers market coupons tend to be people who are more low income and are looking for other services. So we would utilize that. And then wages was the other thing. So really just kind of developing a marketing plan, using it for some wages, and running those ads was the main part of the grant. We won't find out. Ironically enough, we talked about doing it regionally and then decided we weren't going to do it regionally.
Do you know how many have applied for that grant?
I do not. I know that Iowa, Lafayette and Green and I all did. And I actually looked at Kate's grant in Lafayette County, and she and I are exactly, she's got 27,000 she asked for, it saves me. So we're, and Green County is fairly close to that as well. So we were kind of all right on the same track with what we wanted to do.
You know how much is in the grant?
They had offered up to 20,000 for 3 years. However, that's really hiring, you know, somebody. I think your bigger areas will get the 20,000. I'm quite sure, you know, when they offer these grants, you can always be assured of the people that will get it. I mean, it's very rarely does Dane County not get a grant. Same with Milwaukee, same with some of those bigger metro areas, and rightfully so, they have more people. So no, I don't know. They had originally said they were going to do 10 to 12 grants at 20,000, but then people started saying, well, we don't know if we want to apply for 20. So then they said that they would just consider anything. So I have no idea how that'll pan out.
They want that more on regional than they did individual.
What's that?
Did they want those grants to be more regional?
They did, but the way they did it for us, the majority of it being advertising, it didn't really play out regionally here. We actually, if you take all four of our regional offices, we've actually asked for more money than the 20,000 per year. So we'll see how it plays out. I don't know. Linda and I were interested in kind of doing something regionally, but Lafayette and Iowa really weren't, so that's why we didn't do that.
Okay.
So we'll see what we get out of it. So
when do they award those?
It's supposed to be December. The money actually is supposed to start like October 1st. So. But.
Are there any further questions on that? Hearing none, approval of vouchers.
I'll move for approval.
Do Okay, just for two more vouchers. Is there a second?
Awesome.
Lester. Lester did. Lester approved.
Yeah, raise your hand.
Yeah. He went like that.
Yeah.
Any further, discussion? No further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. All right, vouchers pass. Financial report. We just skipped over nine.
I have a question. Go ahead, Steve.
I'll be the same one.
You go ahead.
No, I'm just going to approve
it. Oh, you got a question. Okay.
We'll let Steve go first. I second it.
Oh, our specialized transport.
Yes.
Way over budget.
Yes.
And I see our income is way over budget also.
And it will be, we are working with Nancy. Part of the problem is the restructure. Things haven't been allocated, and obviously we restructured mid-year, so
yeah.
the budget allocations aren't going to be right for this, and we know it. Nancy has been working with Crystal a lot, and has had some, I don't want to even say concerns, just maybe a difference in opinion in how things have been, how budgets have been allocated. So we're looking to do a more realistic entry, putting things in the right places, and it probably will make us over budget in that. However, it should balance out in the nutrition side and some of the service management sides where those hours are going to be reduced now because they're all going to transportation. Although transportation has been a nightmare for the last 2 months because we are so low with drivers. We have been paying some people more than we want to. But I am aware of that, and I think you're going to see that go a little bit different. And maybe even to next year, since we had to do the budget allocations earlier before Nancy got her eyes on things. But she's working with us really closely to make sure that we are getting things appropriated to the right accounts.
So we're going to come out all right.
I think we should. Yes. Okay. I will. Yeah, I am. And that's actually on my agenda for this week to sit down with Rita and just figure out where we're at. But yeah, Nancy is aware. And things may look kind of funny for the next while. And there's even going to be more into next year because things haven't, like we've never charged out postage to different accounts. We've always kind of charged it out between ADRC and service management. But we're looking at charging those out to more programs, which is really probably the way it should be, but hasn't. And Nancy's working pretty closely with that. So she's been working with the GWAR allocations. So, and that's in my report that I'll show you too. So yeah, she's had her eyes on it. So we're, I think in the end it'll all come out.
So that's going to be my question. I don't work with finances all the time or do whatever, but I went through these and I saw where some were over budget, some were under budget, mm-hmm. and whatever else it is. Can those funds be shifted around from mm-hmm. different departments to make up for those?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Right now.
In a lot of cases, because none of the programs are fully funded, a lot of the cases okay. are the county's funds being thrown in there anyway. So it'll be some shifting some of those funds from one to the other, but it shouldn't still affect the amount, the levy amount that we have. And we do have some carryover. Like I said, transportation is a problem right now because we really have been short drivers, and we have had to. We have drivers that have had to work some longer hours. So it's definitely on my radar as a concern. But, just in the way things have been allocated in the past, Nancy's kind of putting fresh eyes on all of that, and I've asked her to do that. She's working pretty closely with Crystal to do that. And so we'll have a better allocation system. But there again, we had to get that budget in early even for next year. So some of that's maybe going to actually take until 2016 before it all kind of washes out and gets appropriate. What I wanted was a clearer view of what does the EBS program really cost us in terms of things, because some of it doesn't all get charged to that, and it's so, yeah, it'll all come out, I think, in the end.
Any further questions? Steve, you had something.
He just wanted to approve it.
So now I will approve it.
And I second it.
Damn good.
Any further questions on the voucher? Well, the financial report, rather. All right, hearing none. All those in favor of the financial report?
Aye.
Always say no. All right, pass. Now the nutrition market study.
Okay. Linda has been working on it. She did give me a little bit of an update last week. She's been doing some research on some various things around the state and nationally. And a lot of what she's finding out in her, just kind of the research part of it, is exactly what we're finding out, that, you know, people aren't attending congregate. They're asking for more home delivered, things like that. So restaurants are appearing to be a better option. So all of that is kind of fleshing out. She's going to be, she's going to interview some meal site managers, talked about their take on it, and then she'll be looking at probably some key players in some of the various towns that we're serving. So Steve, you might be on the list there if you get a call from her.
Lori, is she going to look at the program using restaurants in Madison?
She's going to look at the statewide. She's going to look at the research that's coming out from the state, because they're putting a lot of information out there. And we'll probably try to look at some of the more rural areas, not necessarily. I mean, Dana's using it too, but. And I have it on my list. I talked to Jeannie. Christy, she's the ADRC manager in Crawford, and they actually have a restaurant in Soldiers Grove. That they utilize, which is just up the road for me. So I have asked her, I would like to stop in there and just see how theirs is. Kind of in my report, too, we also met with the nutrition consultant for GWAR, which is our program, who oversees our nutrition program. And they are putting together a whole kind of packet now, informational packet. If you're thinking about going into restaurants, here's the stuff that you need to think about. So she's going to get that out to us too, so that we can start thinking about what does it entail, and, you know, do we have to have a nutrition site manager on board there? Do we have to, you know, what kind of policies, what kind of procedures, what kind of things? So we'll take a look at that too. But that's definitely in the running for all of this. I think it will come out that for some of those areas. But that's probably
so instead of having a meal site per se, people could go to a restaurant.
Yes, and I'm not saying that would necessarily be the case in all the areas, because certainly in a couple of areas we've got very active senior centers. Boscobel has a very active senior center. Platteville has a very active senior center. It would probably be in some of our places where, you know,
Cassville, Potosi,
a lot of those.
Entering the voucher, like go to the restaurant.
Dickeyville, does Dickeyville still do that?
No, that fell apart.
That fell apart.
But now I talked to her, and she was upset because at the time she took on the program, she was required to buy food from a specific vendor in a large amount. And then the program failed, and she still got a basement full of food that she had to buy from this vendor.
That I don't know.
And I don't know why she'd have
to
buy special
ed. Caused it to fail.
I don't understand why she would have had to buy.
I don't know exactly what happened. I'm just not sure. I don't think, for one thing, he didn't have very many people.
She pulled out. We utilized her for Head Start at that time, too. She pulled out of our contract at the same time she pulled out the aging contract. So I'm not sure that,
I mean, what kind of stuff is she left with? I mean, nothing.
I don't know. I didn't ask.
That doesn't make sense to me.
But she said she's got a basement full of.
My guess is maybe she didn't have a good head for what she needed or something, and, you know, maybe got stuck with more than she thought. Maybe thought she was going to provide more meals than she did, or I don't know.
How long ago did she pull out?
Oh,
it's been quite a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I thought they were still meeting like once a week or something.
Oh, Dickeyville does. They still have a set, but we're talking about the restaurant in Dickeyville providing
that was
services.
Katina's, right?
Yeah. But I know. I'm pretty sure it was at the same time she pulled out of our contract that she pulled out of this one too.
So a restaurant has to have a specific price. daily price for these people, and they bring in a voucher, or they bring something.
It would be, yeah, it would be no different. We would have to contract with them the same way we do our bid process for the food providers now. They would have to give us a price of what those meals were going to cost. And in turn, then they have to provide meals that meet our nutritional standards and things like that. Where it gets a little convoluted is the state was saying you still had to have a meal site manager there. You know, you have to do registration, you have to do intake forms, yeah, there's paperwork that needs to fill out if you're new and all of that. And I think that's where restaurants are kind of like.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's a waste of money, I really do.
Yeah. Well, I think the state is maybe coming around on that after the conversation we had with Angela. I mean, they're still meeting. The state is still meeting on the nutrition program. They very clearly recognize they kind of have a dinosaur on their hands in terms of how it's been managed in the past.
Do these restaurants have to buy the food? I'm sorry, I didn't raise my
hand. Yeah.
Do these restaurants have to buy food from certain people, or can they get it from their regular suppliers?
I would think they would get it from the regular suppliers. We wouldn't have any.
I think they should.
Yeah,
we wouldn't have any. Cheaper. Our bottom dollar is how much are you charging us per meal? I don't care where UW Platteville's getting their food from, as long as they're providing us the meals that we need at the cost they agreed to.
They're serving the people, they're charging us for the meals that they serve to the people.
Right.
And they have a limit as to what they can charge us.
Right. Because that's all bid. That's all bid out. Right.
Okay.
So. I think that's why my guess is that maybe she thought she was going to have more than she did, or things like that. I don't know. I'm not sure. I have no idea since I wasn't involved in that contract. I think there are other issues we need to look at. I mean, part of this is we really need to. We know that there's a need for home delivered because we're seeing more of a need for home delivered, and quite frankly. If I could split Grant County in half, it would be really nice because it's a big county. And right now, our home delivered basically goes out to our bigger communities, and we don't get as rural as we'd like because it's a nightmare. That's another avenue we need to figure out because that's a need that we're going to see, I think, more than the congregate. Because, again, people are working longer, and then, when they need food, and they're not obviously always able to get out of their house, and how do we get that food out to, these little tiny places like Woodman and, Keeler and some of these places where we don't have regular routes run, so.
How soon do you think she'll have the final report ready?
I think it'll be a couple months yet before she's,
Or at least something to bring to us.
It's a dumb question, but I know there's no qualifications, for people who want to get. But is there income limits? I mean, so if you make $200,000 a year and you're an aide, you say, I want home delivery, we got to do it.
Not if you're over 60. There are some, home delivered, you can't just want home delivered. You can't just say, it's really more convenient for me if you bring me the food. You actually have to meet some qualifications. There's a checklist that they actually have to do. So they have to show that they're actually kind of homebound. Now, there's a little flexibility in that. If they get out once a week because somebody picks them up and takes them to church, but the rest of the time they can't get out, I would still probably consider them homebound.
Right.
But for the most part, you have to be able to not leave your home for the most part in order to qualify for home delivery.
$300,000 a year and
their income
kind of homebound, you can get it. That's just not really right, is it?
Well, they still might have problems getting food if they're homebound and maybe can't drive a car anymore.
None of the nutrition program is income-based.
Yeah.
However,
they are allowed to pay a donation for
food. There is a suggestion. And many of our home delivered.
Hopefully they would pay
a little more.
Many of our home delivered do. Well. But if you look, we got a couple areas with home delivered that are paying very, very little.
The reason I asked that was, years ago in that program, we had some people, in town, and they had a lot of money, and they'd come in and get 50 cents. for a meal and then brag about it on the street. And that's just not right.
Well, luckily, don't you think those people are in the minority? Because most people are so proud that they want to give as much as they can.
And there are people that need it but won't do it.
Yeah.
Because they don't want anybody to know about it. Right.
Because they think it's a handout, and they don't want anybody to think they're getting a handout. Yeah, there are always the two sides of it.
Sure.
I would say probably if you looked at it overall, I would guess that a lot more of our services are utilized by people who would be deemed on the lower income side than the higher income.
Yeah.
In terms of what they donate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that is... It is an interesting piece because it is over 60 that qualifies you. It doesn't have to do with incomes. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though we do ask them, when they do an intake form, is your income below this or above this? So there is a little piece of that. For
I mean, it's embarrassing. They've asked my wife and I to come down there. Mm-hmm. I can't do that.
You sit on this board. You need to.
I can't.
Steve,
I mean,
you need
I
to.
Feel,
you can put the money in. I mean,
I would feel so bad going in there
and you know what
that,
my,
people
you know what,
looking at, there's the mayor and his wife.
And you know what my take on that would be?
Yeah.
Is that we need people like you to do that, to show that anybody can utilize this, and there's other reasons for that.
And also get feedback.
You're
from
supporting
you on how
right.
the program is.
And
working.
If you would let other people know that it actually would bring more money into Grant County by supporting that program.
Do any of you guys do it? Oh, you do?
Twice a week, I go to
Jan does.
My husband and I,
Sure, and I've talked about it.
I'd like to know first.
I am not old enough, Steve, so.
And frankly, the elderly that go there have become my friends, and I'm just concerned about them, and I want to see them, touch base with them, and I want to increase the numbers in Munford. I want to try to help.
Well, you know, I'd like to see when I ever get one down in Potosi, I would participate every now and then just to see how things are going.
Yeah. But
could he come to Lancaster at all?
You can go anywhere.
You could, Leslie, you can come to Lancaster.
If you want to sneak over to Blue River, Steve,
you know,
so no one knows who you are, you could do that.
It's 11 miles from Lancaster, 11 miles from Flatwell, so it doesn't make any difference which way I go.
Well, I think it'd be a good idea if we, as a group,
we did that one time at Lancaster.
The Nutrition Council is visiting.
I've read that menu when they sent it out.
Speaking of the Nutritional Council, I'm on that, but we haven't had a meeting of that Nutritional Council since Gail left.
Yes, we have. We've had a few. So
I have not.
You know what? There's a term limit on there, though, so I'm not sure somebody let you know that. Let me look at that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
there's
that a life sentence.
No, it's not. There's
well,
actually.
I thought it was interesting to be on it, but
we've
haven't.
Had a few meetings. So, but there's a term limit, and I wonder if your term limit was up.
Okay, and then, but was anybody else appointed from this board?
No, but I'll have to look at that.
So, so there's
good
nobody
question.
On it then from the board.
Yeah, because we've had several meetings. So I will look at that.
But you know, that's no different than the thrift shop. When we started the thrift shop, and I'm an active member down there. Now we get people from all walks of life. And we have lots of good clothing, brand new clothing and stuff, and we give it all back to the community. Because we're giving back about $30,000 a year.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yep, you see in the newspaper, we're giving $1,000 to this group, that group.
Yeah.
But and we got more people that are coming. There was a time when it first started in that, the stigma that, well, they weren't coming down there because they weren't in that class. But now, you'd be surprised. And the good donations we get, too.
Yeah. And that was my point with the community dinners that we were giving a lot, you know, when that's what they were using Eckstein money for when I came here was those free community dinners. And I had, you know, attended a few of those. And if you build it as a community dinner, Steve was there and, you know, other people in the community were there that I knew. However, I knew very well they weren't showing up any other time. But as a community dinner, you felt like, okay, I need to support that. Or, you know, I can think of a few other ones that I knew thought, well, I need to be there because it's a community dinner. It's a...
Well, can I ask?
But I think it's just that's the way it is. And I think
right,
any other time I think they think, well, I don't need to go there because I don't need that. And that's exactly what you're saying is I don't want people think I'm taking advantage of a free program or something like that.
Could I ask that maybe next year we take one of our dates when we're done with our meeting and go ahead of time and we all just go over to the Lancaster Meal site and pay our money and eat there?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We have to know ahead of time.
I think we are in a position that we should be doing more to get...
Yeah. It tells me that maybe some press releases as by attending, that you're, by supporting the meal sites, you're actually supporting services in Grant County that will help out other people so that, you know, it's not necessarily that you need that meal so badly that, but by supporting that meal site, you're keeping that meal site in town for people who do need that.
So let's give that a thought.
So,
next year.
Well, we'd have to set the date so that they don't prepare for this extra many meals.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
Oh, well, you have to call in a date.
Right.
Yeah. So let's maybe just put that in the back of our
Absolutely.
Our tree and we finish our meeting
next year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Next year.
So yeah. 15. I mean,
what time do they start serving? 11?
No, they don't start that early.
They all have
close
different times.
So
it's probably
they all
close
have different
to 12.
Times.
Oh. Some of them have. Some of them are 11:30. Some are at noon.
Oh. Okay.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be. I mean, we could do Lancaster at one time, and maybe a couple months later, go to another site.
Sure. Yep.
You know, let the people see.
Mm-hmm. I think the good news is, I think that the Bureau is really recognizing the need and is moving ahead with that. So I think, I mean, there's going to be support for some of those system changes that need to take place, you know, in terms of, you know, do we have to have a meal site manager, or can we get the paperwork down to a minimum so that it's not going to be, you know, prohibitive for a restaurant to do. So I do think they are making strides. I think it's about 10 years too late, but, I mean, any change is better than none. So, I don't want to just go somewhere, you know, pick somebody off the map and say, okay, well, let's try a restaurant here. I mean, we do have to find there are issues. You have to pick the right kind of restaurant. I mean, unfortunately, there's kind of, if you just go with the lowest bidder, that might not be the best place to go, because it might not be a restaurant that people are going to utilize. So,
okay, any further on that? If not, we'll go on to the GWAR budget.
Just to let you know, we did, the GWAR budget was due this past week. And really, it's already in the main budget that you've already approved. We really didn't have anything. It was pretty much the same as last year. We got $51,460 for service management, another $151,84 for nutrition, $36,280 for home delivered, $4,437 for prevention, which is the stepping on classes and those prevention classes, $21,787 for caregiver, $28,215 for EBS, elder benefits, and then another $9,702 for the state's senior community services, and we always put that into home delivered. So the numbers weren't drastically different than what was already in the budget, so that was good news. Nothing got cut significantly. Nothing also increased significantly, but, you know, we can live with that. So just to let you know, we did allocate those. But there again, we're going to be moving on and working with GWAR to try to look at how we're allocating things amongst those different programs. So.
Okay, any questions on that? Okay, hearing none. Meal site manager site hours.
Yes. We have an issue with our Fenimore site. Our Fenimore site, which is at Good Sam in the apartments, has always been our storage site for paper supplies as well. And apparently, and I don't know how long it's been that way, but for quite some time, I believe, Gail had allocated an extra 5 hours a week for that, for Sue, to distribute, coordinate and distribute those paper supplies out to the various meal sites. Good Sam would like that out of there. They kind of gave us a storage room for all those site supplies. They are asking that we no longer have it there. We're still having the meal site there, but they would prefer that we not have the storage there for various reasons. A HUD inspection was one of them that noted some concerns there. In the cleaning that we've done here, I think we can pull them back to Lancaster, which in all fairness probably is the right site for it, because we've got people here that can easily, it's obviously easier to distribute here we are. However, that would decrease our meal site manager's hours there by 5 hours. She's currently at 25. It takes her down to 20. She has been grandfathered in for benefits for several years now. It will, according to Joyce, it will remove her from the benefits, which is not ever a great thing to have to do to somebody, especially in November. So it would take her from 25 hours to 20 hours. And with that, I've been looking at hours of meal site managers, because they vary a little bit. So we kind of looked around, and we had a policy. We did come up with a policy that Gail had done back in 2008. So I will actually pass that around to you. You can take a look at it. Because two things had to happen. When I talked to Joyce, I said, if I would cut somebody's hours, does that need board approval? And the answer was yes. So in order to do anything with Sue's hours at all, I do need board approval. This policy actually gives the ADRC director and the nutrition person the authority to increase or decrease hours for meal site managers as duties and responsibilities fluctuate. I don't know how well this has been enforced, so I just kind of wanted your eyes on it. I've been trying to think of some other things, because I think, number one, I think we have very few meal site managers that receive benefits. We only have two left, and it's Monfort and Fenimore. So I've been trying to look at some different scenarios as to what we could do. One of the scenarios, and I'll just run it past you and see what you think, is we do hire a cleaning person here for these offices for 4.5 hours a week. Now that person makes less than Sue. I don't think we can necessarily have her on site here for 5 hours a week to do. Personally, I'm not sure that the paper distribution requires 5 hours a week. I think we got grandfathered in because people didn't want to see people lose benefits. So I would like a little discussion. I think we owe that to her. She's been a long-standing employee for a very long time, so I think we owe a discussion.
How will that affect the meal site operation?
I don't think it will affect the meal site operations at all. The extra hour was simply to do inventory, to gather supplies that other meal sites were needing, and coordinating that, getting those out. Basically, we used our taxi person and we used our meal site van driver to get those out to other supplies. If that site is here, we would probably utilize our office assistant person possibly to coordinate that.
So that office person has hours to be able to do that?
Well, I don't think it's... I would be surprised, Mary Lou, if it was 5 hours a week. I think it would probably be less than that.
Now, you said there's only two getting benefits.
I said that, and I think that we're grandfathered in, that we're the part-time under the... I think Platteville still is eligible for benefits because of the hours.
Yeah. What you got for that? Platteville is 6 hours, Lancaster is 6 hours.
Yeah.
And Fenimore was 6 hours.
Right, you got three at 6 hours.
Yeah.
So are those newer meal site managers than the Fenimore and the Montford? They've been there longer?
Yeah, and I think... I could be wrong on this. I think I have this right. I think they were, and Larry, maybe you know better because you might understand those policies. I think they were grandfathered in as like full benefits, where like our new meal set managers, it's prorated.
I guess, you know, one of the thought processes I have here is the job still has to be done.
Exactly.
So what do you really gain by bringing it here?
I have to bring it somewhere. It can't be there.
They're telling you it can't stay.
It can't stay there. Yeah, I have spoke with Carla twice. Carla's the administrator for Good Sam. I've spoke with her a couple occasions, and I mean, she made it very clear to me that she wants it moved out of there.
And I wish Fenimore would hurry up and decide if they're going to build a new senior center, and that would solve the problem because then you'd have storage.
And it does. However, the only reason it was ever moved there before was because there wasn't storage here. You know.
Because what I'm hearing you say, you're going to have to hire somebody to do that.
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. You could absorb those hours within your work.
I think so. I think it's a matter of keeping track of inventory and ordering and filling the supply orders. And I'm not sure that is as much as the 5 hours. Now, there is the option of bringing her here and having her do it and seeing how that works. I guess I'd have a much better handle if it required the 5 hours a week because I could see it then. Right now, I can't see it because I'm not there. I really don't know.
I can't see that either. You can't.
It's a matter of breaking it down, shipping it out.
Does she have to load it and load it? When they bring that stuff,
she's gathering it together. I mean, we aren't sending out huge truckloads of anywhere. It's going out, you know.
Does this take a whole room or something?
It's a small storage area. I believe we've got enough space for it.
Which contains what? What's in it?
Your paper supplies, your paper towels, your napkins, your sometimes placemats, your cups, your whatever they.
Have you had her do like a time study to write down how long the stuff takes her to do it? Or?
No.
No, I can't take very long to do that.
Well,
is she responsible for making sure that each of these meal sites?
The meal sites do an order.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they
so
do an
Platteville
order.
Will say, I need 2 boxes of paper towels or whatever, and they will send that to her. She will get that ready, and then she'll send that out with our van driver or our taxi driver.
Or fill-in orders.
To fill it, yeah.
So somebody's got to do it.
It has to be done. It has to be done.
Does she order the supplies, too?
She does the inventory and does the ordering, right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. That takes just a little
bit. And it does, you definitely have to do the inventory.
She does the ordering and the inventory.
Would she be willing to come here and do it? For less hours, naturally, but, I mean.
I don't think the less hours... If we're going to do that, then it needs to be done in enough hours to give her benefits. Otherwise, I'm not so sure it's needed. This is one of these situations where somebody determined that this worked, and I haven't spent enough time looking at it to see if it does. It's just the issue's now been forced. In all honesty, when I came here a year ago, I kind of questioned whether 5 hours was needed. But again, it wasn't one of those hot issues. I had a lot more hot issues to deal with than this one. But now it's a forced issue. We do have to move it. Could it be more efficient if it's here? I think probably. I think we could keep a closer eye on inventory and know what's going out and know what's needed. And so what I don't like is to ever take away benefits. I mean, benefits are a big issue. I don't think the 5 hours is the issue. It's the benefits.
It's the benefits.
Definitely.
You know.
Yeah. But you're saying 5 hours every day to do this?
No, 5 hours a week.
A week, okay.
You know, so I guess the question is do we... My conversation with her, because I did let her know about this. Obviously, I have to give her a heads up, and I told her that the board would be discussing it because... Joyce said to decrease it does require your approval. So I did give her a heads up and told her we would. And I told her if she had any suggestions, she could give me a call. I didn't hear back from her. I told her we probably wouldn't do anything till the first of the year. Because I think Carla will give me the first till the first of the year to get stuff out of there.
That,
So, however, right now is the open enrollment period for insurance and different things like that.
That's what I was
going to
ask.
Just turned 62 at the end of the month.
So she's
November 30th.
Okay. And how many years has she been employed?
A long time.
She's a very good asset to the program.
She
right
is.
There.
She
I've
is. She does
a
good job. So the question is do we try to keep her at a minimum of the 24 hours or the 25 hours to continue benefits and
When you start doing that, and we do that all over the whole county for 550 employees,
yeah.
and all of a sudden you've got a $2 or $3 million cost.
That's exactly right.
You're that's the problem.
That's exactly right.
And fringe benefits are expensive.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Health insurance is $12,000 a year.
yeah, we know after we retire, don't we?
$13,000 a year is the...
I just have a concern over the fact that we sometimes think our people here are pushed, and you're going to put that on somebody here yet.
Did you offer the chance to come here?
I have not. I have not done any of that yet.
Try
no.
to see if it'll work. I mean,
Can we look at some options?
Well, to be the options of bringing her, giving her a chance to come down and try it. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work, you know, you can always.
You were talking about bringing her in and letting her do some cleaning.
Well, 5 hours a week
but
or whatever.
But isn't one of the drivers doing that cleaning work right now?
A driver's wife.
Mm. So that would cut their.
It would cut that position.
That position.
But they're not getting benefits, right?
No,
that
it's
person
a, it's
is
a,
just a few hours a week of cleaning.
It's a 4.5 hour a week position.
That kind of seems like that would be
however,
more
that's
viable.
It. $10 an hour versus your $13 an hour. However, there's a lot more cleaning here that could probably
yeah. I kind of like that idea.
What was that idea?
I like that idea better than just kind of taking her benefits.
And I don't know. The other thing is you know, I was out yesterday. I would have had a longer conversation with Joyce. I mean, the other thing is maybe we need to sit down with Joyce and find out what we can and cannot do in terms of that. I'm not familiar enough with Grant County personnel policies to know what we can do.
Yeah, it's out of the job
either.
Description.
I think that's a good idea. I think you need to sit with her and discuss
you know,
it.
And
yeah.
bring
yeah.
it back
that's
to you guys in December. I've already
yeah.
told
that's
Sue
probably.
That we will keep her on until the first of the year. My concern, I guess, right now was given the flex period right now that we have an open enrollment period for your flex plans and things like that. That's kind of stuff you need to know
right.
if you
right.
And that ends that enrollment period is done after next week. And so that's kind of the problem that I was having in terms of kind of letting Sue know. You know, in all honesty, Sue was very gracious about it, but it's a huge, I understand it. It's a huge impact on
especially in somebody in that age group, and we're an agency that works with that age group.
But you can't create
exactly.
jobs if you don't have.
And that has
there.
Always been. You don't create something based on the person. You create
right.
it based
right.
on.
Right.
You
know. And, but Mary Lou's right. The job still has to be done. Now, whether the job is required of 5 hours or not, I don't know. We've certainly been paying that for a long time. I can tell you that.
I'll do it for 5 hours.
Okay, so Larry's going to be the... Steve's going to drive bus. I've got Steve driving bus. I've got Larry doing wheel...
Did Larry drive?
No, Steve's driving.
Steve can drive you around to distribute. The
there you go.
I mean, maybe Lester's idea is the best. But there again, you have till the first of the year, which doesn't settle your other broker problem.
Yeah, and I probably won't get supplies out of there till the first of the year because
right.
it's going to take some time. I've got to, because
you
know
where
when
to put them here.
Well, we did a huge cleaning, and a huge cleaning. And we did move our storage site from the third floor down to the first floor because actually that was a request. Social Services wanted to use that floor up there, and it worked out best to have ours down here. What's that?
Is it in the floodplain?
You know what? People by the Mississippi have to live all the time, Jan. That's just how we deal with it here. You just do what you got to do.
Bad number to Wisconsin.
So it will take a little bit more cleaning of one storage area. We've kind of been hanging on to some stuff that I was hesitant to get rid of that now I would get rid of probably and moving. I think we can accommodate it because we wouldn't necessarily have to keep as much paper site supplies on if I had somebody watching it closely. We can just order more if we need to. So, yeah, I mean, that is the potential to do that. We could look at it for the next... see if it really requires 5 hours a week or not. I do feel like we may be setting some precedents that, you know, are we, again, what Larry said, are you doing it for the person? And it's really hard to separate that when you work with people. And it is an employee morale issue. Yeah. Everybody knows that. Yeah. So it's
have
just,
you talked to her personally or...
Yes.
And she, you know, what her feeling...
Okay. Well, her feeling is she'd like not to lose her benefits, you know, clearly. Yeah. And in fact, you know, her feelings were like, I could give up the hours. It's the benefits, and I would be right there. It's not a good situation.
Does she have, like, family benefits, too, or is it single benefits?
But there again... It shouldn't matter if she's single or family or whatever. It's based on whether.
Like the other question is this enough to make her lose the job, quit the job altogether?
Yeah.
That would be, yeah.
You know, and then you're down a meal site.
I have thought of that as well.
Well, then because you're hiring somebody
without benefits.
Which doesn't have benefits.
But you still have the issue of the paper products.
Yeah. But you're still creating a job
for the
person rather than the job.
Right.
Now, the meal, I mean, in all aspects, right now, we know that job has been allocated 5 hours a week. And I really, in all honesty, can't say whether it is 5 hours a week or not. I simply can't be down there enough to see how long it takes, or I'll be honest, I haven't done it.
I mean, I just wonder, could it be 2 hours one day and 1 hour the next day and nothing the next day? Or
It's got to vary.
If we offered it...
I can't see where it could take over an hour a week to do that.
I know.
If you're talking napkins and placemats and cups...
Can we ask for a time study between now and then? Or do you think
they're going off full boxes.
Yes.
I'm not sure the value of a time study would be...
I don't either.
Because it's probably an average amount, like, because one time she'll get a delivery, and then she'll choose more hours, and then...
Right, yeah.
That's what I say. It probably flexes.
Yeah.
It's got to flux.
I think there's two scenarios. Here, we either say, you know, we're cutting your hours, or I can look at, I mean, the cleaning thing could potentially be an issue. However, I don't know, since we're changing the duties and changing... That may still un-grandfather her because I don't understand the grandfather.
Well, you would have to change your job description.
Yeah, and I think that might...
Once you change your job description, you change a whole lot of things.
I think that may...
And you change the pay scale.
Yeah.
The other thing would be to bring it here,
you don't want to.
Offer her that, and evaluate it over the next year. I don't really want to cut somebody off mid.
I would like you to talk to Joyce and see what... You know, legally,
what the alternatives are,
things you can do. I don't think we could make a decision today. I understand what you're saying, Larry. You know, as a manager and economically and everything.
I will tell you straight out. I think all of these hours need to be evaluated in terms of efficiency and effectiveness and just how. Mm-hmm. I will be very honest with you there. This
I
might
agree.
Not be the only one.
Yeah,
so, and this is why part of the reason is I wanted you to review this policy as a whole and not just based on Sue, because I need to know whether I have the authority to do some of that. I think I need to. I think it's very, very difficult to evaluate these sites because you can have one site that doesn't have very many participants coming, but they're doing a lot of home-delivered meals, which then takes up probably even more time than if you had those same participants coming to the site. So,
my other question is, you know, those extra hours, you know, you're dealing with older people. Are there other things from a, the social standpoint or keeping them coming? And, you know what I'm saying at all? I mean, the...
Yeah, because are some of those people going to that site because of Sue? Because of her personally and what she does, the interactions and the activities she does and stuff like that? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a...
The bottom line is we have to move the site. I mean, we have to move the
products.
Mm-hmm.
That has to occur. Carla's made that very clear.
By the end of the year.
By the end of the year is the agreement I made with Carla that I would.
A whole lot of time.
No. No.
So where do these products come out of that she orders? Where does she order from?
Baraboo, Cisco Baraboo.
So they just have to come here.
And... Yeah, we'll just change those systems.
So, I guess what I'm hearing is you don't want to make a decision today. Can we empower you to talk with Joyce?
Two different things. This policy has things assigned by, like, meals, and I'm not sure that that is the best way to assign hours to somebody is by the number of meals that they're serving. I would have some concerns with this policy. So eventually I'd like to look at this and maybe revise it, because I just don't think if you serve 21 meals a day that you should get 5 hours, and if you serve 20 meals a day you get 3.5 hours.
Question, Lori, too. Like, I know at Montford, Deanna does the home deliveries herself, too. She doesn't have a volunteer or a driver.
Right.
She has to go out and deliver the meals, then come back and serve to the meal site. In Fenimore, does Sue deliver any of the meals?
No. And I think, quite frankly... And you know me, so I will be frank, probably more so than I should because I haven't worked here long enough to know better. is that I think that's also an area I think that was designed to keep somebody at the benefit level. And I'm not saying she does do it, and I think that probably requires those hours. But I'm also saying I think there's reasons why that was done.
Yeah.
And I get that. I get why you want to keep long-term employees and keep
their
benefits.
I thought we had volunteer drivers to deliver the meals.
In some areas we do.
In some
That's
areas
not
we'll
in
pay
one of them.
To deliver?
In some areas we do.
Yeah.
How do we have a program like that? I mean, that's not a fair program either. But I think it's your job to go through this.
Yeah.
And make it fair.
Yeah. I would agree. I
Dave.
This suggestion I was going to offer is you're saying that you need to evaluate all of these. Without grandfathering her in, could we discontinue it for another year while this is all evaluated to see if it's fair or not with everybody?
And then make a decision based on that.
And that way you aren't really grandfathering them in. You know, say she continues until 65 and she's grandfathered in. It's we're reevaluating everybody and everything in the program. And by sometime next year, we'd make a decision. Yes, we need this many hours, or no, we don't, and they're going to be out, and then she's got time to...
And might this be affected by the study that's going on anyway, and changing to restaurants, say? Or
yeah, there's a lot of changes that can come place in this.
And that way you're not favoring her over anybody else, you're just saying we're evaluating everybody,
you're
looking at everybody.
Her hours and individual.
Right, mm-hmm. And the possibility maybe is that she won't be... getting those benefits as well as some other people, and some may be getting them because.
But for right now, then what you're saying is you would move the paper products here.
Yes.
And
she would have to come here.
Offer her to do that same job.
Right. Well, this is all evaluated. And it's not grandfathering in, it's not promising her that until she's 65 she gets to be grandfathered in. She may lose that benefit next year.
You'd be able to get a good handle on it if it was here, too, to see how many hours she's putting in. She'd have to, like, clock in or something.
Sure.
Or down.
Is that still an issue?
I'd rather see you talk to Joyce about it first, because I have a problem. Whenever we cut a job for an employee, we also cut the hours. And if you don't do it for one employee, you're going to get trouble in the next employee comes along.
But they may be cutting some of these other people, too, that are getting on.
I understand that. But we're already cutting her job description.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking away
her
responsibility taking care of the paper products.
Right.
But we're not cutting her hours.
Well, I think what, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think what Dave was saying was to not cut that responsibility, just have her
just
do it
here.
But evaluate how many hours it actually takes her to do it.
So she may get it cut down the road anyway.
Do you think she's going to drive to from Fenimore down
here
to do that?
If she wants
her benefit traveling.
I don't
evaluate. I don't think
I would offer the mileage because I think it would be.
I would not either.
It would be part of her
responsibilities. Yeah.
With her understanding that it has to be moved.
Yeah.
She knows
and she knows that.
Yeah.
Why
I made that very clear.
So adamant about moving them?
She's it's their site. I guess I've dealt with sites all my life, and they have they've had some issues with some inspections. Their HUD inspectors are fussy and sprinkler systems, and I think that's probably part of it. And I think maybe they want to use the area. It's a huge storage room, and maybe they want to use it.
It could be that there's not a proper firewall between
rooms
or something in there. State saying you got to get that out of here. Yeah, I know how that works.
So, bringing this to an end.
There is no end.
I think this policy needs to be revised, but, I guess I would like some authority to, do some of that. I don't know if this is even in effect. I literally Ruth dug this up for me because she knew it. I couldn't even find this anywhere. And I've questioned a couple other counties as to how they allocate hours, and doesn't seem to be any formal rule. It's just sort of.
This has been looked at since 2008.
I will say, when you start talking about this, when we did the wage study, these people are getting a lot more per hour than somebody else in the county employee doing the same type of job. And the reason for that is because they're working less hours. So in order to get somebody
to
come in and do that
people.
Job on that few number of hours, we have upped the per hour pay. So we're already giving them a benefit over all the other employees in the pay itself. And you just got to be careful when you start.
I agree.
Yeah.
You're creating a job for a specific person rather than working on what the job demands.
I agree.
So in this respect, though, if we bring it here and she comes here and does the job, you've just moved the job.
That's correct.
You've got the same person.
Then the ball is in her court because if she decides she don't want to drive down here and do the job,
Give you a chance to evaluate how many hours it really takes to do that.
Do you still think
she's going to show up 5 hours a week?
Well, I think she needs to work with Joyce. The choice is to have the resources.
Yeah.
This is a resource problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do we need a motion that that's how we proceed with this?
No, she's got the authority. She's the manager.
So you just...
Well,
she can
to decrease the hours, according to Joyce, I did not
then
have the authority. You needed to do that.
Yeah,
so,
but we're not doing anything right now.
We're not
doing
anything.
Okay.
So.
All right. So basically, I'll talk to Joyce, bring it back to you next month. Then apparently, we'll go from there.
Do we meet in December? I can't.
Well, that was going to be
the next question. That's
a question
at the end.
That was going to be a question, but
we may need to. Okay. So with that, let's continue on. Let's decide, huh? How about the reports right now? Anything further on that? No, hearing none. Reports, Grant County Director report.
Oh, the Grant County Director is tired. it has been an incredibly busy month, and I will be glad when we get things in place. With Mariah on board as the office assistant, we can formalize a few more systems, which is going to help me as well. And Crystal's learning curve is becoming smaller and smaller. So we have had Nancy here literally kind of captive for hours and days at a time. Nancy Scott, the finance director for the county, has been here a lot working with Crystal. Number one, to provide her with training on just how to work with Springbrook, which is our accounting software. And doing all these vouchers and doing these, because Springbrook is not the easiest system to navigate until you really get doing it hands-on. And then she's also going through, for me, because I have asked her to go through our systems and procedures and looking at just how things have been done to work with me so that we have a better way of expensing things out. So she's also been doing that. We had Deb Mould from GWAR, who's the GWAR finance manager, come down, met with Nancy and Crystal and myself to help explain how the GWAR allocations work and how they're doing some monthly allocations, because Nancy had some concerns there that we may need to straighten out before the end of the year. So she also then did a financial assessment with us, which actually went pretty well. We felt fairly good about. A couple of the items that were identified as needing improvement were items that probably Crystal and I had already identified, Nancy had agreed with and identified, and were in the process of being changed. We've got just petty cash procedures need to be a little bit strengthened and done a little bit differently. How checks are handled, I've wanted differently since we came in, but unfortunately we've had turnover in my office assistant, so that keeps kind of changing that. So we're going to change some of those systems. Again, just the postage and some of how we're allocating some of that. Well, I think we just need to do a better job of line-iting those out to different programs than we've done in the past. And Nancy, I got to say, Nancy has been a lifesaver. I know Crystal is really thankful to have Teresa and Nancy, and she has been more than accommodating to us in getting our systems. So I am very thankful to that. So that's been a lot of work. It's taken a lot of Crystal's time, and so I think you'll see some of our things will get more timely as far as getting stuff out to you with the board. But unfortunately, some of these things come right before the board meeting. Crystal had trouble with Springbrook, and then they don't get if Springbrook fails, and it always seems to fail on the day that we're going to do vouchers or payroll. Then you're stuck because you can't do anything about it. Other big things happening, we did have Angela Ellis come out. She is the GWAR Nutrition Consultant. Oh, I'm sorry, back to finance. Nancy has requested that we have Julie Schrader come out from ADRC as well to meet with us to go over time reporting so that Crystal has a good knowledge of the time reporting system and how we do that and how we report that. And again, just we're putting a lot of eyes on our finances to make sure that we get systems in place that work well. Angela Ellis came out, met with Ruth and myself for an orientation to the nutrition program. This was going to be the assessment, but they said that we would do the orientation first and then we'll have a formal nutrition assessment in 2015. However, essentially, she just went through the assessment tool with us. And I felt better about that than I did prior to having her come. I was a little leery about that, but actually we've got a lot of systems that are really good and in place. We've got some improvements that we know need to be made, such as, you know, looking at those hours and looking at some things. We've had some issues with eligibility concerns since I've got here that I think I have finally worked through. And we've got some reporting systems that we need to work on. The nutrition reporting system is still flawed, and it's a hard system to work with. So again, Nancy, who knows Excel inside and out, is going to work with us on that. Nancy also has some things with the nutrition system that she would like to change. Right now, we do like quarterly deposits and reports from the nutrition sites, and Nancy would really prefer those to be monthly so that we can reconcile deposits with our donations and things like that. So we're going to be changing some of that, and I think that'll go hand in hand with our reporting system. So, but that is stuff that I need time and a lot of effort directed at. Right now, we've had all the reporting that needs to be done by November 26th. And right now, I'm the only one in terms of nutrition and the caregiver that has any inkling of Sam's database to enter all that, because we don't have an office assistant who normally has done that in the past, trained. So I have been working with Carrie Croats, who is our computer consultant for GWAR, a lot. Carrie has you sign up for a day to go over reports, and I've signed up with her three times so far. Because I want to make sure that we have these right. So I have been doing a lot of entering, which, again, takes up a lot of my time. But the good news for that is I then understand it better so that not only that, I can train somebody better and then I can utilize that database better. So in the end, it's going to have a good benefit. And we're going to be utilizing that database more for monthly reporting too. That's just something that we haven't done. So we're working on that. So it's been a lot of a lot of consultants in and out of here and a lot of looking at processes. So the next year is going to bring good things if I can get through this year. Elderfest was, I think, a good success. I think we had just around 400 participants attend. We had about 38, 39 vendors there.
I would just like to say, I'd like the name of that changed.
You know,
I get feedback from other people.
I do too. My concern with that, and the first year here, I'm like, God, I don't like that name. However, it is branded like
it is.
Everybody it is. Knows it.
Yeah. That's true.
And they, yeah, so I don't know how we're going to deal with that. Because you're right, I do think it needs to change, but oh my gosh, I'll tell you, it is by far branded than anywhere else. We don't, none of the other counties have the kind of turnout for their senior fairs that we do. I mean, not even close. I think Iowa County had 150, and they were really happy with that. But yeah, you are right. I agree. It's yeah. I think we'll have to say formally Elderfest forever. A couple things that are going on statewide. The Bureau on Aging is publicly talking about, as part of their strategic plan, integrating aging units with the ADRCs. That is not done everywhere. Like La Crosse, for instance, has a separate aging unit versus an ADRC, and they're two separate parts of the town. And so obviously there are concerns about that. They have selected a group of directors from aging units and ADRCs, and it's not an open group. They have handpicked some directors to start that discussion and talk about how they're going to integrate. I think in a lot of ways, I mean, we're already doing that, so it makes sense. However, it makes sense because we are all together. In La Crosse, they're not nearly as receptive to it.
Do you have people like this ADRC who's already integrated them on that committee?
Yes. I mean, it's two separate units, and there is, I would say there probably is some competition there.
Oh, yeah. It's territorial.
Yeah.
Well, when this started, the state was pushing segregation when they
right.
began.
Yeah,
the
and now they're...
Now they're talking just the opposite.
And it has implications for GWAR. I mean, would GWAR then be a state, the area on aging? They get all the Title III funding and take it out to the states. If you start integrating everywhere, then
mm-hmm.
how does that
right.
mesh? They seem to be committed to at least looking at it and moving forward on it. It's definitely part of their strategic plan, and they're jumping on it pretty fast. So I definitely think it's Carrie Melke's intention to do it at some point. She's the head of the Bureau. So we'll see how that goes. Ruth and I attended a functional assessment service team training in Iowa County. It is it's an emergency preparedness training that looks at using volunteers as part of a functional assessment team that would come in. It's more probably for shelters than anything. However, there were a lot of things I think that we came away with. It was a good training in terms of just coming away from things, since we have now been through. I've been through two disasters in Grant County. It was enlightening to me. But it's really looking at how do you, when you've got people needing shelter and coming in, how do you look at those people that need, in order to stay in the shelter, they have accessibility concerns or they have functional needs, and how to meet those. And rather than doing that through your Red Cross volunteers or something, they bring in a team of volunteers that work just specifically on making sure that those needs are met and coordinating those services. And you have that anywhere. We had that with the floods in Boscobel. People, elderly, were taken out of their apartments in the middle of the night, some of them, and didn't have you know, they didn't have the CPAP machines, or they didn't have their medication, or they didn't have, you know, various things that we had to then quickly provide resources for. So I felt like it was really a beneficial training. So other thing that we're doing, if you've noticed, the reception area has a fresh coat of paint. I don't know if anybody's noticed that, but it is no longer red. That is coming based on some feedback from Mary Mesmer. She has, since I came on board, she has wanted the reception area to be more warm and friendly because it's in our scope of service that in the ADRC that we have a certain environment when people come into. And it's kind of hard to make a very institutional like building like this one is really look that warm and friendly. But
you're saying when people walked in the door, they were good, and as soon as they saw red, they were just totally
it
reception.
Was just, it's just like
what
that.
What color is it?
I didn't look either.
Oh, observant.
It is a nice calming taupe color. We have
so now he's going to say what's taupe.
Yeah.
tan. light brown tan. You'll call it light brown. I would call it taupe. We do have new carpet coming as well on Friday. We have taken down and put up our modular desk units about 100 times, it feels like, doesn't it, Crystal?
Yep.
If you look at Mariah's desk when you come in too, we have taken out our old crappy countertop thing that was handmade from I don't know when. They've done a lot of cleaning up in that area, mostly because they moved it all to my office. So if you look at my office, it looks like I'm having a garage sale. I literally have everything in my office. We moved our gray chairs from out of here to the reception area, and that was done in particularly because the gray chairs were ordered to accommodate larger size people and things like that because that's been an issue for us. However, the way the arms curved out, they were a tripping hazard out here in our hallway. Which is not good for an aging disability resource center to have a tripping hazard. So we moved them to our waiting room, and we think we hopefully have them arranged now so that they are not a tripping hazard. Because they're nice chairs. I'd like to utilize them. I just don't want people falling. So when you come back in December, you should see a nice reception area. Maybe we'll actually take you down there. We'll provide some refreshments down there or something cool that you can see it. Yes, and you will be asked to note the paint color. It literally has improved a lot. I really have to say, if you probably haven't spent as much time in there as I have, but some of you that have been in there, it looks nice. Mostly because it's all in my office, but there's been a lot of cleaning done. We have rearranged desks so that it looks much more professional and not quite so garage sale-y.
What to keep your workers?
That's right.
We're happy.
Yes, that's right. We finally got Crystal moved in. We got her moved into a corner so that she can concentrate a little more. Yeah, it's coming together. I will be happy when it is done. Because these desks are modular units, and so you can't just physically pick them up and move them. They literally have to be taken apart to move them, because if you move a piece, then you've got them falling apart. So we have become very adept. I can use a drill, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the short one of the bunch, so between Mariah and I, we're the ones underneath the desk doing that stuff. It's been a lot of fun.
So you're saying you're not doing ceiling sheetrock?
I am not. No. No. No, but it is looking together. So I really do. When you come back, take a look at it. Make a point of going in there, because we do want it to be warm and friendly. And if you don't get that warm, fuzzy feeling, then you let me know, and we'll see what we can do about that. Mariah is on board. She's doing, I think, a great job. She has really, literally, this has probably been the last. Since she has been hired, it's probably been the busiest time I have had hardly a moment. So she has really, you can tell she's had a lot of office manager experience in the past, because she has just dived right in and figured things out, and Crystal's been helping her, and I keep saying, you know, yeah, I'll help, and then basically she's figured out a lot of it on her own. She's doing a great job. And that's what I needed, was somebody who can have that initiative and get together. That's been the nice thing with Crystal and her. They're doing a great job. So that's basically it. We are very, very busy. We got a lot to get done in the next year in order to get things up to speed, but we're working on it.
Okay. Any questions from anybody? Okay, program report two.
And that one you have. And I don't have a whole lot to say in that because literally they were just getting those in for me. It's been a busy time. EBS does not have a report. We have had numerous problems with the computers. Medicare computers have not been, the databases have not been real cooperative since Part D started, so we are having kind of a backlog. Things are taking longer, and they're having to double check to make sure that they're accurate. So, but everybody's busy. I can definitely tell you that. Like I said, we're getting all the end of the year reporting systems in. That would be caregiver, nutrition, all of that.
You know, when I look at these trip programs, boy, I mean that's a lot of trips per day.
It is. Yeah. It's a lot of work, and we are actually going to be training Mariah to kind of back up that program as well a little bit because we have to. We just simply, you know, we get more and more requests, and some of these people call at a moment's notice. And the bottom line is we ask continuous, we ask family care to give us more than 24 hours notice, and sometimes I think we need to be less accommodating when they call us because they're getting increasingly calling, like I said, at the end of the day for the next day. But
and when they call us, do they pay for?
Yeah.
They pay for the time of the driver too?
They do not pay for the time of the driver, no. It's still a volunteer, but they pay us a $12 setup fee, and then they pay for the mileage. We bill them for the mileage, but the drivers are still volunteer drivers.
What if they're getting it from someplace else, like to Wisconsin, when they're paying for that?
They're not paying for it. Medicaid is paying for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So these would be...
So you're indicating some disparity there?
Well, I'm
these
wondering
would be
why
people,
we don't bill it
well,
out to them. That's what I'm curious. Because I got a feeling you're going to end up getting all of the business down here if we don't charge them for it, and they do have to pay for it other places.
Well, they have to utilize... I know what you're saying, and I'm trying to think how that works, because for the most part, if they're in family care, they should be on Medicaid, so
yes,
they shouldn't use us that often.
That's right.
What does Medicaid give them?
Medicaid, you have to go through. Medicaid pays for people on Medicaid have to use MTM,
yeah,
which they don't always like. I'm just drawing a blank on that, Larry, and I need to look into that.
I don't know. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Because we're doing we're checking some stuff over at Orchard Manor, too.
Yeah.
Going through continuous.
Let me look at that. Because those contracts are coming up. We have to renew those anyway. But I got to see how that works. Because I may not be right on that. I might not be speaking correctly on that. And I'm just drawing a blank.
I just want to leave money laying on the table if it's available.
Yeah.
That we could use here in the county.
Yeah, we're actually charging them because we had a little survey yesterday. The rest of the counties are, at least a couple of them, I heard them say that they're charging an $8 admin fee, and we're charging $12. But I'll look into that. That, like I said, we got to renew those contracts anyway, so I'll be looking at it anyway. So write that down, and you can remind me next month to.
I might not be here next month.
You cannot go south.
I got a doctor's appointment.
Oh, yeah. In Daytona or where?
I'll be your driver.
Good idea, Carrie.
Yeah, let me look at that because I'm kind of drawing a blank on that right now.
Okay.
See, every time I think I'm getting a pretty good handle on things, one of you ask a question, then I'm like, gosh, I got to go back and figure out how we do that.
That's a good question.
It is. So, I'm assuming we are meeting in December then? Do you?
It sounds like we better over the meal site thing, don't you think?
Probably should, I guess.
Might not be a long meeting, but...
Okay. Okay.
No, it's going to be going on the 17th.
Is that the third?
Is that the third Wednesday?
Is it? Okay. Well, that's a few days before Christmas.
Well, yeah.
I guess too.
Jeez, my husband gets a whole day over on
that. Comic board meeting.
Since we hopefully will have the reception room done at that point, we may try to have a little something in there, and maybe then you can have a little meet and greet with staff or something during that time period.
Bring the Christmas
cookies. I think
that would
be kind of nice.
We can have our Christmas cheer that
day.
That's right. By then, maybe I'll have a kitchen back and I can make some. I'm just.
I've got a VA appointment in Dubuque that morning at 8:15, so I.
Well, our driver could have you back here.
Do
you want to make it later?
Yeah. But you're feeling this is something we probably need to answer before the end of the year?
I mean, I can do it.
Actually, as far as if you're going to just work with Joyce and find out if it's all right to just move it down here and have her report down here, we really don't have to ask.
You are changing
do you want
the job.
Me?
No.
Right.
Place of the job.
Right.
Do you want, how would I meet with Joyce and go over some things with her, and then I'll let you know whether I think we need to meet in December?
I think
you
that's a good idea.
He'll let us know.
Okay.
So we'll leave that open-ended. Anything else come before us?